Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to The Light of Portland with Pastor Sherelle. Let's talk about the things that affect the body of Christ in this world today and how we can truly impact the world. Enjoy the next song, and following that will be the voice of Pastor Sherelle live in Portland.
Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard the kind of blessings that's about to fall on me. Cause victory is here. Kick defeat out the door. God's doing a new thing.
Parted the Red Sea, multi-million dollar commercials for Pepsi, from food stamps to more ice and Gretzky. I don't gotta talk, the Lord defends me. I watched them all fall for going against me, cause me and all my angels shot the devil up, while you was trying to pull me down. I leveled up, I leveled up twice, I leveled up three times. He tapped them and told them she's mine, so even when I cried I knew I'd be fine. Prepared for a miracle blessing in these times. Now praise him, raise him, name it, claim it. Every turn that rises up against me, shame it. I breathe success in and out my lungs. Got the power of life and death coming out my tongue.
ready for overflow. Yeah, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. God's doing a new thing. Get ready for overflow. You've been waiting, you've been praying, you've been pressing, you've been fasting. God's doing a new thing. Get ready for overflow. I'm getting ready to see something I've never seen. Oh, I'm getting ready to see.
I'm getting ready to see something that I have never seen. That has become my anthem for 2019, is to be open to allow God to blow my mind, to not limit him to a box, to not limit him to my mind, and not limit him to my ability, but to open up and allow Holy Spirit to move freely in my life, in my children's lives, in my finances, in my family's lives, and allow him just to blow my mind and expect him to blow my mind. Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Thank you so very much for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast. I'm Pastor Sherelle Pennington, and I am live here in Atlanta, Georgia. It is such an honor to be with you tonight. To all of my family there in Portland, Oregon, I love you. I miss you. Looking forward to seeing you as soon as I can get back to the City of Roses. We are excited to be with you tonight because there is a word from the Lord. And I want you to know that I love each and every one of you that supports the broadcast. To the Butterfields that provide us with this platform, we say thank you. They are part of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle family. And to Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and Light of the World Covenant Fellowship Ministries, which is my spiritual mother in covering, to Bishop Belinda Campbell, whom I love very dearly, to my natural mother and spiritual mother, and to all of my family that support and tune in to the broadcast every night, and to every pastor, elder, bishop, minister, leader that support the broadcast all over the U.S. We say good evening and thank you so very much for tuning in. And for those of you who are tuning in maybe for the first time, we welcome you to the Light of Portland broadcast. And we ask that you would tell a neighbor and tell a friend. We ask that you would tell someone that's sick and shut in that may not be able to get out to the four walls of the church and get a word from the Lord, to dial in every Sunday evening if they're on the West Coast at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, if they're on the East Coast at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to tune into the broadcast and hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to the body of believers. And so we also want to thank each and every one of you that have tuned in every week, that has supported the broadcast, that is allowing the numbers to continually increase. We give glory and honor and praise, and we thank you so very much for all of your support. We want to say tonight that we love you so much, and we want you to know the things that are going on in our very own city, so that you can begin to participate in the things happening in our city, in the City of Roses. And so
every Tuesday and Thursday night, there is some dynamic prayer happening. For those of you on the West Coast, 11 p.m., there is prayer happening. You can dial in and go to sleep to the prayer. Just put your phone on mute. You don't have to speak or anything. You just dial in and hear the prayers that go up. Because how many of you know that the prayers of a righteous man and woman availeth much? And so there are prayers happening every Tuesday and Thursday evenings, and you can participate, tune in, and listen. And to tune in, all you do is dial in to the prayer line. And that number is 774-220-4000. Again, that number is 774-220-4000. And the access code is 55558. Again, that number is 55558. You dial that number, put in the code, press mute, and hear the righteousness praying for your soul and for your family souls and for those that are sick and shut in. We are in prayer. And then we want to invite you out. There is such a great event that is going to take place in the City of Roses. The 14th Pastoral Appreciation is happening in the city April the 14th is the Easter Cantata at 5 p.m. at Maranatha Church of God. It is the Union Baptist Association's annual Easter Cantata. It is fabulous, saints of God. It is phenomenal. And it's at 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue in Portland, Oregon at 5 p.m. And then the 14th Annual Pastor Appreciation is happening at Maranatha as well, 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue. That is Pastor Black and the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church that is having their 14th Annual 14th Pastor Appreciation. And I don't have the date for that, so I will announce that that date that appreciation is happening. But I want you to come out and support the body of believers that are celebrating the accomplishments and the steadfastness that they have been in, that allows them to still say that through the trials and through the storm, through the rain, through the heartache, through the pain, through the good, through the love, through the babies being born, through all of the things that have happened over the last 14 years, we want you to come out and celebrate. Pastor Craig Brown from St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church will be the guest speaker, and it is going to be a phenomenal time in the Lord, and you don't want to miss it. It is going to happen, I believe, in April, and I will get that date to you as soon as possible. And then we also want to mention that the National Day of Prayer is coming up, saints of God, and we want to make sure that you are on the wall for Jesus and on the wall for the body of believers. It happens on, I believe, on May the 2nd. Is the National Day of Prayer. We host it all day long at Maranatha. We pray until the body of believers can all come together. And so we bring churches from all over the Portland area, and we invite them to come and pray for an hour, and we invite you to come out to Maranatha, 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue, on May the 2nd. That prayer usually runs from either 10 a.m. or 12 p.m. I'll get the exact time from you, and then it goes until 8 p.m. I think it's from 12 to 8 or 10 to 8. I will get that information for you. But I want you to mark your calendars for May the 2nd, Thursday, for the National Day of Prayer. We all, as the body of Christ, must come in and give thanks unto the Lord for what he has done. We also need to understand that there are seven mountains that we must continue to pray for. And so that prayer on Thursday, May the 2nd, is from noon to 8. And Pastor Black, if you are there with us, text me the date of the 14th annual appreciation. I don't have that date, and I want to make sure that the body of believers know what date that appreciation is on so that they can be a part of celebrating the work that you have sown into the kingdom. And so we just want to give our love and our support and our honor to each and every one of you that needs to know that God loves you and God is pleased with all that you are doing. We want you to know that you are important, and there is a specific reason why God created you. I'm sorry, why God formed you. He didn't create you. He formed you, and he spoke life into you. He breathed life into you, and there is a purpose for your being here. And so we want to make sure you know that it is important to us, each and every one of us, from Pastor Black and myself and to all of the body of believers that are with us, want you to know that God loves you, and so do we. That Pastor Appreciation Saints of God is on April the 7th at 3:30 at Maranatha. The 14th Pastoral Appreciation of Pastor Kimberly Black is on April the 7th at 3:30, and we are excited to raise the roof with her. And so I want you to come out and support her, and know that we love her and all of the work that she is doing in the name of the Lord. Well, Saints of God, tonight we have a special guest with us, and I am excited about hearing a word of God from a new person on the Light of Portland broadcast. So I want you to really be in prayer and support with her, because she is new to the Light of Portland broadcast. Her name is Minister Garrica. She is, and her last name is Holmes, and she is 30 years old. She is a wife and a mother. She has three children. She accepted her call into ministry in 2011, and she is part of the Total Truth Restoration Ministries in Mableton, Georgia, with Co-Pastor Laws and Minister Ketty. And as you know, this is Minister Ketty's time to minister, fifth Sunday, but they are out celebrating their pastor being consecrated as bishop this weekend. And so we want to continue to be in prayer with them. They did travel to Louisiana, and so we want to make sure that we continue to lift them up in prayer to have a safe return. But Minister Garrica is here with us, and she uses her love of the arts in her ministry to help build the kingdom of God. It's so important for us to know that God uses every gift, and he brings every gift into the house so that we can come together as one and worship the one true and living God, getting on one accord so that the Spirit will raise up and allow the Lord to hear, see, and feel the love that we share for him. And so tonight, Saints of God, I want you to invite and welcome Minister Garrica into your households tonight. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. You are so worthy. You are so mighty. You are so awesome. And I love you and serve you, Lord God. We give you thanks, Father, for allowing us to have this platform to minister the word of God and to say that we love you and serve you, to help someone in need of the word from you, to be able to hear it beyond the four walls of a church, Father. We want to ask you, Father, that you would allow us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds, open our heart, that we might receive from you, Lord God. We thank you and praise you, oh God, that you give us the ability to know that we are able to call upon your name and that you will hear us when we call. Father, we just want to plant our feet on your walk, Lord God, on the solid foundation of who you are, Father. And we just know, Lord God, as we lift our hands and worship unto you, Father, that you will be our Jehovah Jireh, that you will be our Jehovah Nisi, that you will be our Jehovah Shalom, that you would be our Jehovah Mekadishkim, you will be our Jehovah Sikinu, Lord God, that you will be our El Elyon, Lord God, that you will be all that we could ever ask or think, Lord God, you will be that for us if we stand in faith and believe in you. And then, Father, you will do greater things for us, things that we could not even hope for or imagine, Father. And we will stand on your word, Lord God, and proclaim your word, Lord God, on the mountaintops, oh God. And so tonight, oh God, we pray for Minister Garrica, Lord God. Bless her tonight, oh God. Use her, Lord God, and let her be free to speak what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. For God, you are true and awesome. And Lord God, we would be nothing without you. And so tonight, oh God, we praise and give you glory for Minister Holmes tonight, oh God. In the name of Christ Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord God, and amen. Minister Garrica, you are live on the air.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Sherelle, for allowing me this platform for tonight. Just again, want to send love out to Minister Ketty and Co-Pastor Law and Bishop as he is getting consecrated on this evening. I want to just send love and prayers down to Louisiana, to my Total Truth family. I won't be before you long. I am going to speak on the power of forgiveness. If you come with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 through 13, it says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of holy God and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have any quarrel, even as Christ forgave you, do you also." Forgiveness, in its definition, is the stop feeling of angriness, resentfulness towards an offender, a flaw, or mistake. We, as humans, tend to only want to give forgiveness once we have been apologized to. We want the offender to admit their wrong before we can offer them the grace. But we know that our Father in heaven offers us the grace before we even admit that we have committed. Why is forgiveness important? Forgiveness is healing for the forgiver. It is a release of all pain and anger, as the definition describes, but it does something even greater. It is a statement of power to your offender. It gives the opportunity for God to show his love to those around you and to those that offend you and hurt you. We have a great, great example of this forgiveness in Luke chapter 23, verse 34 through 35. We are with Jesus as he gets to Calvary. And all the things that have come before this, the whippings, the beatings, the trials, the walking of the great distance, the slow bleeding, the pain and suffering that he is dealing with, we greet him here again on the cross. And as he looks down on those getting ready to sell his clothes, they are mocking him and spitting at him. He looks down and says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Now, I know me personally, in a moment where I am being offended, in a moment where I am made to feel that I am the reason of someone else's pain or someone else's disdain, and it causes me pain or hurt, I don't have that tenacity of Jesus to say, okay, I forgive you in this moment. But I have realized that in my growth through life and in my growth through ministry, that what God did there, what Jesus did there, was a power move. He basically looks down at those that hurt him, those that were causing him grief, and said, what you're doing to me does not bother me. What you're doing to me is not my problem. He basically released himself from that complete situation. And in that release, he was able to die with the peace. There was no anger. There was no strife against anybody. He let them go so that he could do what thus said the Lord. That spoke a lot to me in my studies, because I can look back on situations where I've come across people that have done things, whether it's just driving down the road and you cut me off, or whether I'm standing in the grocery store and you bump me with your cart, where I can't turn around and say, I release you, or I haven't turned around and said, I forgive you. It's okay. It's not a problem. Go on and have a great day. To show you that love and that long-suffering and that humbleness and that kindness, that forgiveness gives. Also in that text, if you look at our example of Jesus on the cross, he didn't look down at them as just the ones that did them wrong. He saw their afflictions. He saw that they were blinded by anger. They were blinded by pain. They were going through other things that was bothering them. They were using him as an outlet for their issues. And in that moment, not only did he exercise forgiveness, but he exercised empathy, which is really important in forgiveness. If you can't empathize with the person, can you honestly forgive? Because the Bible even tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I can think of situations where I was at work and someone said something to me, and I had to kind of stop and say, is everything all right? Because this is not like you. Is there something going on and this is your cry for help? Especially in situations where I know that all I did was wake up this morning and see you, and you automatically are lashing at me, I'm going to forgive you for that. But I also want to get to know what's going on. Forgiveness opens the door for us to be able to show God's love, to show God's intuitiveness. The Holy Spirit leads people to us in order for us to work with them, in order for us to show God's love, to lead them to Christ, to show them the joy that God gives. And we can't do that if we shut ourselves off and so quick to get angry, so quick to jump down to their level, so quick to shut them out until we receive that needed apology, or until we've calmed down enough to really sit down and focus on what really happened in the situation. Jesus empathized with them. Also, something that we also have to think about when we're thinking about the power of forgiveness is it may not always be an instant turnaround. Even when we're showing that love, we are showing that humbleness, that long-suffering, that mercy that God so willingly gives us. We may not see that quick turnaround of, I'm sorry, yeah. something I need to talk to you about, or I'm dealing with this. We have to be okay with that. Even, again, with our example, with Jesus on the cross, even after he said, Father, forgive them for they have sinned, they still continue to mock him. They still continue to gamble for his clothes. It took the thief in verse 40 to say something, to say, now, I know I deserve to be here, but this man has done no wrong. It took the thief for them to pause. It may not have fixed the situation, but it caused pause. Again, forgiveness is not just for the person that you're forgiving, but it's for you, and it shows the light of Christ to those around you. Now, we all know that Jesus could have very well got himself off that cross, handled his business, and then finished what he needed to do. But he needed to show the grace and mercy of God in that moment, as we need to show the grace and mercy of God in our lives. The word tells us that we are to forgive as God has forgiven us. We are to be slow to anger. We are to show that empathy and that kindness towards one another, because we all are dealing with something. We all are going through things that will cause us to act out of ourselves. They didn't know exactly who Jesus was in that moment. But in his power move of forgiveness, for unwarranted forgiveness, like they didn't ask for it, they continued to go against him, say what they wanted to say, feel how they wanted to feel about him, based on whatever stories they had heard that had led up to this moment. But yet he still turned the other cheek and said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. They're doing it out of the blindness of their emotions. They're doing this out of the pain and the hurt that they have on the inside. They're doing it because they need me. Forgive them, Father. So when we look forward the ways of God and we go to live our daily lives, some of the things that we should put into steps or put into our work while we are here on earth is to show empathy, be slow to get angry, and practice forgiveness without request. Even if it is as simple as somebody cuts you off on the street or cuts you off in conversation during a business meeting, or your children are acting crazy, give that forgiveness. Release them and release you of that anger, of that pain. Because what happens when we don't exercise these steps, when we don't show forgiveness, we build resentment. We build up anger. We build up pain. We lose our kindness. We lose our humbleness. We lose our long-suffering. And then we become no better or no greater than those that have wronged us and have offended us. Again, I'm going to continue to drive this home. Forgiveness is not just for the forgiven, but it's also for the forgiver. Things that we also need to put into our daily lives is not jumping to conclusions, not trying to assume the reason for another person's strife against us. We need to try to go deeper. We need to try to redirect their actions with our actions. With redirecting their actions with our actions, I believe that that is so powerful. I know that me personally, in this past week, I've had to exercise these steps. I've had to exercise redirecting someone's negativity with my positivity. To have someone to come at me who I know is going through something, who I know is dealing with something personally in their own lives, and just needed a place to throw all of that pain and that strife at. There were things that said that should have offended me, that should have caused me to fly off the handle. But in my studies for this, I grew so much in my forgiveness. Because in that situation, I took pause. I didn't respond at that very moment. I let the person say what they needed to say or do whatever they felt they needed to do. And as soon as that moment was over, I forgave them in my heart. And then I went forward and asked if everything was okay. Totally redirected. It wasn't about me. Even if it is something personally that they may have felt about me, it wasn't completely about me. I apologized for anything that I may have done to cause it. But then I went in and asked, now, what's going on? Is there something that you need? Do you need to talk? Do we need to sit down and go over this situation to get to the root of the matter? I believe that that conversation and me showing empathy and me directing them with my positivity and showing them the love of Christ opened up a conversation about emotions and feelings and what they were going through. And it also opened a conversation about God and how his love reflected my response. There are many things that we go through every single day that we do that sometimes offends God or may always offend God. And there are certain things that we have to take pause. We have to take pause and say, God, I'm sorry. But understand that that forgiveness was there. When Jesus gave up his life on the cross for us, our forgiveness was set in place. Jesus made a way for us. The Father forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was not just in that moment, but that was past, present, and future. Because Jesus knew that there will be times when our flesh would get the best of us and we would lose sight of who we really are. And it is in that moment that Jesus said, I got your back. Isn't it amazing to know that there was somebody rooting for you even then, that there was somebody covering you who's still covering you even today, that has your back at your weakest point when you're not showing the kindness and the humbleness of mind, the meekness and the long-suffering, but he covers you and says, but Father, forgive them. Even when you don't remember to ask for forgiveness, he's covering you, Father. Forgive them. I believe that that is an amazing love to show others, to show them the empathy, to show them that forgiveness is a power move. It is truly important that people see the love of God through us. And I believe the greatest way to show it is in forgiveness. To look at someone who has wronged you and hug them and say, I love you. I forgive you. Now let's go forward as if this didn't happen. To still show that you care. What do you need from me? How can I assist you? What is causing this? What could possibly be the anger that binds you or the pain or the outlet that you need? I definitely want to charge each and everyone on the broadcast tonight that as you go through this week that's coming, to use your power of forgiveness, even in the little simple things, because even simple things can lead to more pain and more anger and resentment if not treated. To exercise empathy to those that have probably been causing you issues all this time or just something may pop up this week, I charge you to use your power of forgiveness, to look back on Jesus on the cross and everything that he's done for us and how even in his moment of pain and grief and despair, he was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank you for your listening and receiving.
Amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not. I just want to touch on a couple of things that she mentioned this evening. And Minister Garrica, stay online with me. I think it's very important that you said that a lot of times we wait until someone apologizes to us before we extend forgiveness. And for a moment, I want you to go back in and minister in that moment, because it's so important for us to understand as saints of God that our forgiveness doesn't begin at an apology, that it begins in our very own heart. So I want you to minister on that just for a little bit longer. Amen.
Amen. Waiting for an apology. Waiting for an apology does so much more hurt than it does solving an issue. Sometimes an apology may never come. Sometimes things can get in the way. You never see that person again. But it can cause more hurt, and it can cause more pain, and you can build up bigger walls. And then the little things that that same person does becomes a part of the offense. It's like they build on top of the offense. Their simple good morning you cannot receive, because all you're hinged on is the offense that they gave you before. If you were to exercise not waiting for an apology in order to give forgiveness, you release yourself of that. You release yourself of the pain that they've caused you. You give yourself peace. You allow God to come in and heal those broken places that they may have caused. So when they do come at you again, or when they do come to you again, and the Lord may have worked on their heart, so when they come to you, it is in a different place. You're able to receive it. You're able to hear them out. You're able to actually accept the apology, because forgiveness doesn't mean that you accepted the apology. Because some of us, and I know I'm saying this from experience because I've done it, I could say I forgive you and still think on the situation. That means you apologize, you feel that you are absolved, but unless I truly forgive you in my heart first, I gotta forgive you within me first in order for me to be able to even receive your apology, or not receive it if it never comes. But I have to release myself of that pain. We have to release ourselves of that pain and of that sorrow, because it is a brief moment in time that shouldn't have to expand any longer than when it happened.
Amen. Amen. It is so vital for us. Forgiveness starts with us, and that you may not ever receive that apology that you're looking for. And then you said that it's not always an instant turnaround. So when someone offends us, we might get an apology, but it might be 5, 10, 15, 20, never that apology comes. And so if we hold that grudge all of that time, it affects us. That person is going on with their life, and we're still stuck in that moment. Can you minister on that for just a few minutes for me, please, Minister Garrica?
Oh, yes, no problem at all. It's not an instant turnaround. With some of us, we believe that once we apologize, or once we forgive someone, that the turnaround for their pain or needing to apologize or needing to reconcile with you is instant, and it's not. There are times where things can happen and we never reconcile.
There are times that you can forgive people and they go on with their lives. That's why your forgiveness has to start within first. It has to start with you. You have to give yourself that peace. Because what if they never want to resolve it? What if you forgive them physically to their face? I forgive you for whatever you've done for me, and they never want to reconcile for it. They will continue to do the things that they've been doing the entire time, just like they did when Jesus was on the cross. He said, forgive them, and they continue to do things to him as if he never said anything at all. You have to be able to receive that. That's why I said forgiveness is not just for the forgiven. It is for the forgiver because it does something. Even when we look at the scriptures where God has forgiven us and he tells us that he forgets it. Usually when we bring up our past sins, it's us. It's us. We're bringing it to God when God has already forgiven us and forgotten it. And when we put it into our daily lives, our daily human lives, and we look at situations with people that never want to resolve it, we bring it back to them. If they come to us, well, you remember when you did so-and-so to me 2-3 years ago, you're still on that. Like she said, you're holding that grudge, and they've moved on with their lives. Why not give yourself that exact same peace? Forgive them. Find peace within you and move on. Because if they never come back, you don't want to hold on to that grudge and that resentment. You don't want to hold those things inside of your heart.
Amen. Amen. I know that a lot of times we hold stuff, we harbor stuff, and that affects our stress level, which affects our heart condition, which affects our blood pressure, which causes strokes and causes diabetes and causes heart attacks and all kinds of things. And the stem of it can be as simple as unforgiveness. And so it's vital for us as saints of God to understand how important it is to let stuff go and not hold on to it. Like she said, forgiveness is for yourself. It's not just for the person that caused the offense, but it's for you as well. And that she also said that Jesus showed us that grace and that mercy on the cross as he began to forgive those in the midst of the transgression, in the middle of the transgression. Jesus was already forgiving. How powerful is that, Minister Garrica, to be able to look at somebody that's in the middle of an offense? That means they're still committing the offense, and you are forgiving them and in the middle of the offense. So the rest of the stuff they do is already forgiven before they even do it. And you're watching them do it. You're watching them offend you, but you're saying forgive them in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
That is where God desires for us to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And I know it says we have to be slow to anger, but how many of us, if we be on the for real, in the middle of a circumstance, that anger, you went from 1 to 9. And at that moment, we ain't thinking about no forgiveness. We're not even comprehending of forgiveness. But in the midst of hanging on the cross with nails in his hands, nails in his feet, thorns in his head, he says, forgive them. Why they're casting lots for his possessions in front of him. That's powerful. That's powerful, Minister Garrica. And then I wanted to you said something that really sparked my mind. People do things out of their hurt. Hurt people hurt people. And so we must understand that the reason why somebody may be offending you is because they have been offended and have not forgiven or let go of something that is going on in their life. Hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you replay that in your mind, Minister Garrica, and know that something might be going on with them, you'll begin to understand that this don't have anything to do with me. And so I want you to minister a little bit on the redirection. You said that redirect their actions with our actions. And we have just a few more minutes left, so I want you to talk about redirecting someone's actions with our actions. Amen.
Amen. With redirecting, it really causes you to take pause. Like you said, when we are in the heat of the moment, we go from 1 to 9 really, really fast. But even in your 9, I need you to take pause. Take pause to understand, like you said, does this have anything to do with me in the first place? Because sometimes we get so caught up in somebody's tone of voice. We get so caught up in maybe the negative things that they're saying that we aren't hearing their heart. Especially if it's somebody that is close to you, that tends to be the easier route. Oh, you jump at me, I'm going to jump at you. But I'm asking you to take pause and redirect the situation. So how do you do that? Like I said, 1, take pause. 2, assess the situation. Assess how you got to that place with them. And then begin to love on them in the midst. Let them get out everything they need to get out. And you begin to love on them. Become the person that they need at that moment. Are you okay? Start asking questions. Get to the root of the matter. Because usually in the midst of an argument, and I know I'm guilty of this, we miss the root. We will fight and argue with each other, especially when we're hurt and we're in pain. And sometimes that pain, hurt, and offense is something that we have had built up in our mind or in our hearts for years. And we finally found the right person to let it out on, and it wasn't the person that caused the problem in the first place. Get to the root. And when you discover that the root of the problem was not you, forgive them. Forgive them in that moment. And I know I keep going back to Jesus on the cross because I'm sorry, it's like the perfect example when I was studying. He knew when he got on the cross that it was not about him, but it was about everybody else around him and everything else they had been going through for years. The pain, the devastation, people's children had died and were not healed. They had heard about this man walking around, but he never made it to their family members. All of those things cultivated to this moment. Even when somebody outside of the situation can look in and realize that it's not you, the thief on the cross knew daggone well that everything that was happening to Jesus was not about him. He said it. Why? We deserve this, not this man. So get to the root. That is very important when you redirect. Get to the root of the problem. It's going to cause you to have conversation. Stop fighting long enough to have the conversation. What is really going on? And if it is you, do right by that person. If it's not you, still do right by that person and love on them and be that shoulder for them, because ultimately that is what God requires of us. To be his hands and feet, to hug his children, to listen to his children, and let them know that he is there. And I promise you, because I've seen it work just this week, it comes out better. The anger in them goes away, and they know that they have an actual shoulder to lean on, and they see God in a way that they've never seen him before.
Amen. I had someone that came to me not too long ago that said, I learned real forgiveness from you. And they said that of all the people in my life and all of the things that I have gone through, I have never experienced true forgiveness. And you showed me what a real friend is. You showed me what true forgiveness is. You showed me how to love unconditionally, and I didn't think it was even possible. And I have had a life-changing experience because of the forgiveness you have shown to me. We don't know how our forgiveness can change somebody else's life. So, Minister Gerica, tonight I want you to begin to pray tonight for the saints of God that may be on the call today or may be connected to someone that's on the broadcast this evening that is in a hard place and is struggling to forgive someone, but needs God to help them to be able to release someone that they've held bound. That person could be dead and with the Lord, and that person is struggling to forgive someone. So I want you to go ahead and pray for them. And I'm saying to each of you on the call before she begins to pray that I'm standing in the place of somebody that has offended you. And I'm saying to you, I apologize for the offense that they caused you. Please accept my apology for them. If you needed to hear the I'm sorry, if you needed to hear the I apologize, if you needed to hear that I know I offended you, if you needed to hear that there's something did happen, I'm standing in that place tonight. As Jesus stood in that place on the cross, I'm standing in that place tonight, and I'm saying, you've been offended, and I apologize. Minister Gerica, if you could pray.
Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, first for hearing our hearts. And Lord God, we thank you for searching our hearts, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you go first and remove those things that have us bound from forgiving. Lord God, remove the offense. Heal the broken place, Lord, and move us into a place of peace, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you give us the strength and the courage to be like your son and to forgive wholeheartedly, to release all of those people that have offended us, to release, Lord God, the pain and anguish that it has caused us, Lord God, and to refill us with your love, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, to those that have offended us, Lord God, that you heal their broken places. Lord God, that you give them sustained strength and power, Lord God, and that you touch their hearts, that they're able to forgive those that may have wronged them, Lord God. Lord God, we know that you gave us this great tool of forgiveness, Lord God, to be able to showcase your love, Lord God. And we ask, Lord God, that you give us even more tools and guide and instruction on how to do it properly, Lord. Lord God, help us to wipe the slate clean as your son did for us with his blood, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the relationships that are healing right now, Lord God. For the phone calls that are going to come this week, Lord God, for the joy and the restoration, Lord God,
that you are going to bring forth to your children, Lord God, and those around them that need to see your love, that need to know that unconditional love exists, Lord God, and it is ready and available for them, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for using us as your willing vessels. We thank you, Lord God, that you have commissioned us to be your hands and your feet, Lord God. Help us to do this diligently, wholeheartedly, Lord God, and spiritually sound, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for all these and your many blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Minister Berica, we thank you so much for being with us this evening. And we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast. We will invite Minister Gerica back to be with us on the broadcast. And so this won't be your last time hearing her, Saints of God. And so tonight I pray that you have received a blessing from the Word of God tonight. And I pray that the Lord would bless you. I pray that the Lord would keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you and giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. So until next Sunday evening, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, be blessed in the Lord. Know that you're highly favored. In Jesus' name, thank you for tuning in, and good night.